breathe in those words that Dolores Emma just shared and allow yourself to open to that joy, the theme of joy. You can't have gratitude without joy. And we acknowledge these blessings in our lives together. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed.
As we enter our time of meditation, I invite you to close your eyes and take a deep breath in. Consciously put aside any concerns or worries about things left undone this morning, and just be here now. Gently move your focus down to your heart. Feel your shoulders relax away from your ears and settle back into your chair. Let this quiet music and the peace of this sacred place call you deeply into spirit. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we welcome the birth of the Christ presence within us, we come together today to celebrate the gift of joy. Such joyful images inspire this season. The angels singing glad tidings of great joy. The light on Mary's face as she adored the newborn Jesus. The powerful manifestation of Christmas spirit that swells our hearts and moves us to love and give and be God's hands and feet on earth. In the revealing word, Charles Fillmore calls joy the happiness of God expressed through us. What a blessing to consider how God's happiness might manifest through us. What does that feel like today? How will you bring God's happiness through your joy this Christmas season? What an astonishing power to know without a doubt that the joy fired in our hearts this season is a gift that sustains us every moment of every day. That the joy in our hearts helps us see the best in each situation and be grateful for everything that happens in our lives. That as the ever-present joy and connection to spirit supports us, we have confidence and courage. So we never doubt that love and joy will prevail. Today's daily word reminds us that whatever our days bring, we have the option to respond with joy. We can choose to soak in joy and splash it into the world with every smile and laugh and hug. I choose joy this morning. And as we move into our time of silence, I invite you to count your joys. See the glad tidings revealed in this silence as we see God's happiness manifesting in the world.
I am so glad to be back at Unity. It feels really like home. And as I was saying to Reverend Britt before, it feels to me like Unity is like an acupuncture needle, and it's stirring the place, sending good chi and good energy throughout all of New York, which certainly we could use right now. And as we're talking about joy, it's so important that we take the time. We're so quick in New York. You know, we were even... There was an article in the paper last year that said, New Yorkers move so fast that we even have sidewalk rage. You know, it's like, get out of our way. Come on, we're walking. So when we're talking about joy, you have to take time for joy. We only have 24 hours in the day. Doctors recommend we get, 6 to 8 hours of sleep. Most people spend at least 3 hours buying food, preparing food, eating food. And the scary part is the average person spends 8 hours and 41 minutes connected to your device. And it's worse for the younger kids. So how much time does that really give us for joy? And so many people wake up in the middle of the night and they immediately go to their phones or their iPads or their computers. So we spend more time checking email than taking the time to experience life. Our lives are the sum total of the moments that we experience. Anyone ever remember an old TV show called A Different World? Anyone remember that? Okay. So there was an argument once between a med student and an artist. And the med student was saying, "You don't understand. I save lives. All you do is paint." And the artist says, "But what are you saving them for?" Jesus asked the same question. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? If we have everything but joy, we have nothing. Joy is our foundation. Some of you know, because you've come up to me and you've watched my posts on Facebook, my mother is almost 99. I know, God bless her, right? Her best friend is 100, by the way. I mean, they've known each other for over 75 years. And what keeps them so resilient is they never complain. I was talking to my mother the other day, the other day when it got so cold, and she said, "How are you doing?" I said, "Great, but it's so cold and I'm freezing." And she goes, "Aren't you lucky to have warm clothes? Aren't you lucky to have a good apartment?" And I thought, I teach this and I forget. And her friend, when I was down in Florida for Thanksgiving, who was 100, was saying to my mother, "I never expected to live this long. I hope I don't run out of money." And you know what my mother said? "Just ask God for more." Happy people don't have more, but they focus more on gratitude. So definitely for those people who don't have enough food or a place to live, we have to take care of them. But, as Pope Francis said, to change the world, we must be good to those who cannot repay us. Most people are miserable not because of what they don't have. It's because they're comparing themselves. So you have a motorcycle or a Honda, and you look at a Mercedes. However, the person who doesn't have the motorcycle or who doesn't have the Mercedes will look at your motorcycle and go, "Boy, I wish I had that," because all they have is a bike. And then the person who's walking will look at the bike and go, "Wow, if I just had that, my life would be terrific." It's foolish that we do this. We go on and on in comparisons. What we need to do is plug in to spiritual joy. You plug in your phone, you plug in your computer, you need to plug yourself in to God. So think of what brings you joy. An early morning sunset, sunrise, holding a new baby, watching a night sky filled with stars. You're humbled and exalted because you're filled with God's joy. Do you know that you're 15% more likely to feel happy if your friend is happy? And this goes even for your friend's friend's friends. So if my friend's friend's friend is happy, I'm going to feel happier. So we all have the opportunity now to up our joy quotient, really take it on the road, make your friends happy, which will then make their friends happy and their friends happy. And it's like going to spread out. A happy heart draws to itself all it needs for happiness. And I personally, I don't know about you, I talk to strangers everywhere. I talk to people on the subway. I talk to people in a restaurant, going by a Starbucks. Because you get to find out really who they are. And by just taking a moment to share and not complain, you really spread this joy. Learn to be happy for others. This is another thing. You know, if you could be happy for somebody else, you open your capacity to be happy for yourself. So it's giving and receiving. You become more available to joy. So right now, I want you to just turn around to anybody and share something that makes you just burst with joy. Anything. Share. Turn around. Everyone, just share something that makes you joyful or happy. Can you all feel how much more joy there is in this room right now? Raise your hand if you feel it. Can you feel this joy now? All it takes, I mean, it took, what, 30 seconds, 60 seconds? If you did this every day, we could really make New York the most joyous city on the planet. We must realize that God is the source of our joy, the only source. People, things, situations, they come and go. But we can't place our spiritual dependency on it. I mean, think about it. You go to a party. There's so many parties now. And someone comes up to you and go, oh, you look fabulous. You look so good. You look so rested. I love what you're wearing. What do you feel? Happy, right? You feel good. But then someone else comes over and go, are you okay? You look a little tired, right? And all of a sudden, your energy's in the toilet. And for no reason. Half the time, you don't even know the person. You don't care about the person. So we're like yo-yos all the time. We have to really resurface here and reshift and go back to God. Because you know what? God knows you're wonderful. God knows you're a work in progress. God celebrates your joy. Use your joy. Literally, take your joy on the road. Jump up, laugh, sing out loud. I love all the music here because it just makes me so happy. Be in gratitude. Smile at strangers. In fact, smile at yourself in the morning. You know, instead of frowning when you look and go, just smile and let go of blame. Use color. A lot of you have come up to me and said you love what I'm wearing for the color. But, you know, color has a vibration. And the color of happiness is orange. So even if you took a real orange and you smelled it or had a bowl of oranges on your table, it has a real energy. Open your arms. Research has shown that when you don't feel happy and you just go like this, everyone just do it, look up, you tend to be more positive. When you look down, you get more depressed. So looking up opens you up and it brings all of those great hormones, the oxytocin, serotonin, the feel-good, happy chemicals. And as Mary Oliver, one of my all-time favorite poets, said, tell me, what do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? And as we come to the end of this year, ask yourself,
What do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? We're coming to so many holidays now. We are so lucky. As Reverend Britt said, we're coming into the solstice. For those of you who want to know exactly, it's 5:44 a.m. Wednesday morning. And we gather to see the turning of the wheel. Yes, it's the longest night of the year, but in this night, in the darkness, the light is being reborn. And after then, the sun will grow stronger and stronger. Our ancestors believed that we have to help the light be reborn. So on a spiritual level, really think about that. The people were there to watch, to wait, holding hope in their heart. The return of light was not taken for granted, and people never forgot that their lives depended on it. They prayed, they feasted, they decorated their homes with lights, which is where the early Christmas trees, by the way, came from. They exchanged gifts, and they told stories. I love the part that they told stories. They'd come together and have storytelling. Christmas, the birth of the divine light in the Christmas world, honors the Christ as the light in the world. And this year, Hanukkah is the same time as Christmas Eve. It's very unusual. So for those of you who don't know, Hanukkah is the Jewish 8-day wintertime festival of lights. And it's celebrated with a menorah, which is a candelabra, and special prayers and foods. In Judaism, the number 8 is pure potential, transcendence, and infinity. And during this time, we light 8 candles, and we enter into a time of miracles. How fabulous, it's also Christmas Eve. We're entering into this global time of miracles. The Hebrew word Hanukkah means dedication, and is named because it celebrates the rededication of the Holy Temple. Again, for those of you who don't know, quickly, in the 2nd century BC, the Holy Land was ruled by the Syrian Greeks, and they refused to let the Jewish people celebrate their own religion. We see this happening all over the world today. So against small odds, a small band of faithful Jews, the Maccabees, defeated one of the mightiest armies in the world at that time, and they rededicated their temple. However, they needed olive oil to light it. Remember, we're not in a time now where we just light wicks. They had to take olive oil, and they lit it with the sacred, purified, consecrated oil. However, there was only enough for one night. But by God's grace, it lasted for 8 days. And that is the miracle of Hanukkah. That's also why, if you walk around in New York, you see it all the time. People are doing potato pancakes or jelly donuts because it's fried in oil. It represents the sacred oil. So we celebrate the reemergence of light in a time of darkness, freedom in the time of tyranny, and hope and desperation in this time of despair. So we can do the same thing. When the world turns dark because great government is threatening our freedom, our autonomy, our community, or a corporation is threatening our jobs or poisoning the earth, the air, or the water, or a great war is threatening our lives, shattering our hopes, let us symbolically light a candle. When our lives turn dark because we've lost someone beloved, or lost a loving relationship, or our sense of purpose in the world, when we have no hope of changing things, let us light a glowing blaze of candle. When our sense of hope and change darkness and we find ourselves helpless, light the candle and remember this small group of brave people who faced a power greater than their own and won. So it doesn't matter if you celebrate Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, solstice, any holiday. Let us light candles this year, this week, and set our intention to make a commitment to ourselves and each other to create light in the midst of darkness, hope in the midst of depression. And let us learn also something about the conversion and taking care of Earth's resources. Think about the oil. We had enough for one day, but it lasted 8. So they taught us that this conservation was a divine miracle. And let us carry it into our lives today. So may we conserve oil, trees, water, air, all the strands of the earth to conserve, to renew, and to heal. Let us bring light to the darkness created by the global refugee crisis. Let us bring light to the darkness of climate change. Let us bring light to the darkness of racial injustice. Let us bring light to the darkness of religious intolerance. Let us bring light to the darkness of any prejudice. Let us bring light to the darkness caused by random violence at home and abroad. So let us all commit to shining our lives this year. So how many of you will commit to shining your light this year? Raise your hand. Stand up if you commit to shining your light, to be a beacon of light. And remember what Mary Oliver said, light is an invitation to happiness, and happiness, when it's done right, is a kind of holiness, palpable and redemptive. Thank you, everyone. Mwah.